And a pleasant Monday evening to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is Anit the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Sus Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you to you, the listener, the fan, who listens to the program every Monday evening from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., right here on these airwaves on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Sus Free Farm Radio. Sincerely appreciate it, as always. And I hope that you, the listener, had a fantastic Thanksgiving, because I sure did. I absolutely had a great Thanksgiving, and I'm grateful for a multitude of reasons. And one thing that I absolutely believe, especially during this season in which it's about gratitude, it's about appreciating the small things that you and I may, you know, take for granted, and you're like, you know, yeah, we have it, but, you know, like, I don't see what the big deal is. And you just don't know what you have until it's gone. It's kind of like how life works sometimes, you know? You have it for a while, and then you lose it, and you begin to be like, oh, man, I remember back in those days when we had that, and now you don't have it, you don't have it no more. And it's a shame. And it's a shame that you have to wait until after you lose something in order for you to appreciate it again. And if you're a Patriots fan, I just hope that what you're experiencing now is an appreciation of what you have before you no longer have it. If you want to call in, you can. Phone lines are open, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. And we're going to talk about the Patriots from an overview perspective before I really, you know, dive into the X's and O's as to what happened yesterday and what we've been seeing over the last 6 weeks. But let's just look from an overview standpoint. And that is, what you're seeing right now is accumulation of Bill Belichick doing his finest work. Let me explain. Bill Belichick right now, he is doing his finest work. And I know that it's a heavy statement, a bit of a hot take, considering that, wait a minute, he had Brady for 20 years. What do you mean this is his finest work? First reason. If you were just like I, going back to the evening of October 3rd, and here we are, we're about to enter the month of December on Wednesday. But if you were I on the evening of October 3rd and the Patriots had just lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you were beginning to wonder if time has run out on Bill Belichick as head coach of the New England Patriots. Now, when you're in the opinion business, when you're in the business of giving your take, giving your opinion, it's not always going to be right. And it's not always going to be wrong. But see, social media has given this false sense of, well, your hot take has sucked this week because you were wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. So you suck. That's not how life works. You are entitled to have an opinion about something. If it happens to be an educated opinion at that, more times than not, you're going to be wrong. That's just the reality of it. You show me someone who said, and again, I'm using the game against the Buccaneers as a reference point. If you point me to someone who said that the Patriots were going to end up having close to, if not the best record in the AFC come week 13 after the loss to the Buccaneers, and I'll show you someone who probably isn't telling the truth. Because it's easy to say now that, oh, yeah, I know they were going to be the best team in the AFC. You are a liar. You are a liar, and you're just trying to show off for the masses. And you're just going to hide behind some sort of avatar on social media just to avoid accountability. Because that's what you do best. Avoid accountability. But the truth is that if you went back to that night and you talk about these last 6 weeks, the overview of this team, from where this team was, not playing sound situational football, turning the football over, and Lord knows, for all of my listeners out there who have been listening to this program since the beginning of the season, if there's one thing that you can say, and if there's one thing that is an absolute fact, that is, I have been consistent in saying that this team has found ways to beat itself by turning the football over. I have said this point repeatedly, time and time and time again. Yesterday, what you saw was a Patriots team basically playing its best game. And when I say that the Patriots were playing its best game, I mean that they were playing its best game taking advantage of opportunities. That is what I specifically mean. I specifically meant that. I specifically mean that the Patriots, a team that forced 4 turnovers yesterday against the Titans, did they play their best game overall? Not really, not necessarily. More on that a little later. But if we're going to be honest, this team did in fact play its best opportunistic football. And I should emphasize opportunistic for a reason. The reason being is that going into the game, I was thinking to myself, I said, you know, this is a Tennessee Titan team that is banged up. This is a Tennessee Titan team that is absolutely banged up in key areas of the team. We all know about the injury to Derrick Henry. He's out for the season. We all know about the injury to Julio Jones. He's done for a while. We all know about the injury to another key player on the offense as well. We all know the injuries and so forth. But the reality is, I was one of those who yesterday morning was saying, don't sleep on the Tennessee Titans. Don't. It would be a colossal mistake to think that this game was going to be an easy one, a cakewalk. They didn't come into the game 8-3 for nothing, despite the injuries. And the Patriots, despite finding ways to beat themselves early in the season, Bill Belichick has found a way to get this team going in the right direction, including finding a way to put together game plans that has worked for this team week in and week out, despite the growing pains of Mac Jones. And that is a testament to the greatness of the coaching that is of Bill Belichick. Appreciate what you have now before it's gone. I was one of those, and I mean this sincerely. You all know, for those who follow the show and who are my hardcore fans, and I should remind all of those who are new to listening to this program for the first time, that you can listen to every edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO on demand on the Shukri Wright's podcast, which you can find on iHeartRadio and on major podcast platforms like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever else you get your podcasts. You've heard me even question at least once, is Belichick on the hot seat? Yeah, I did. Now? Am I looking like a fool for even asking that question? Maybe. Do I regret asking that question? No. Because of where this team were and the money that this team has spent in the offseason, in free agency, how could you not begin to raise questions considering where this team was at 1-3, 2-4? How could you not back then, considering everything that was going wrong? And obviously, it's easy to say now that, well, I mean, they're 8-4. They're just a half game behind the Baltimore Ravens for the top spot in the AFC. Blay, you see, Shoot? Don't you feel stupid? Well, it's quite easy to say that now. Let's rewind the tape, shall we? Let's go back to October 3rd. What were your thoughts back then? What are your thoughts now? Honestly, if your thoughts is consistent from what it was back then versus now, I'm willing to talk to you. At least you're honest. And if you're one of those, I just like to say, Blair, you were wrong. Look at you, Shu. Aren't you feeling stupid? Look at you. Look at you and your dumb takes. Blair. Like, if that's what you want to lead with, then I'm not going to have a conversation with you. Because you're one of those probably who jumped on the bandwagon when everything's going good. Everything's going great. But the moment this team begins to struggle somewhere along the lines, you're going to be like, well, I wasn't so sure about this team anyway. They hadn't played a real opponent just yet. Oh, is that so? Huh, okay. So, the Titans, they weren't a real opponent. Buffalo, despite being flawed, and the Patriots are by far not perfect either. Let's not get that twisted. But the Buffalo Bills, despite being flawed, they're not a real team? Oh, stop it. Please. The Patriots are where they are because they have been able to turn things around. However, they are not without flaws. Let me say that again. Despite the New England Patriots being where they are now on November 29th, they are not without flaw. This turnaround has not been perfect. But you got to give credit where it's due and appreciate what you have now. That is Bill Belichick. Because let's be honest, if Mike McCarthy or Cliff Kingsbury or any other head coach, hell, I'll even throw in Sean McVay, were in Foxborough coaching this team wouldn't be where they are now. That's just the God honest truth. They wouldn't be where they are without Bill Belichick. If you're going to give this roster, rookie quarterback, solid run game, when it's operating when the way that it's supposed to be operating, not the performance that you got yesterday, because that team only ran for 107 yards total on the ground. That was it. But when this run game is operating in a level that it's supposed to be running at, you give this roster to any other head coach across the league, this team is not sitting at 8-4. This team is probably a 500 team at best. And yes, that is a testament to Bill Belichick. That is a testament to the defense. Again, Bill Belichick coach defense. A defense that oftentimes with 2020 being the outlier makes plays opportunistically time and time again. That is what you're going to get. So now you're looking at this team and you're like, oh, wow, 8-4, half a game behind the Baltimore Ravens. What are the odds? Where are we now? What are we going to do next? Okay, let's test that theory. Two of your next three games are against the Buffalo Bills. Oh, by the way, the game before, that third game against Buffalo, and I said two out of the next three are against Buffalo. In between those two games, you got the Indianapolis Colts. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, your next three games are big tests. You are going to be tested over and over and over again these next 3 weeks. You wanted to know, is this team a legitimate team or not? Hold your horses, because I don't think that this answer can come just yet. You'll get your answer in these next 3 weeks. But considering where they are now, are they one of the better teams in the AFC? Yes. Wow. By the way, we have breaking news. This is literally just into the WMFO studios. Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand has been suspended 3 games for slew-footing Canucks defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. This is just in. Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand has been suspended 3 games for slew-footing Canucks defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. More on that a little later on in the show right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, we're going to have a brutally honest conversation about the Patriots. As I mentioned during the first segment, there are some things that are concerning to me that I've noticed in the last few weeks. We're going to actually talk about this coming up right next. Keep it locked in. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show with yours truly, Shukri Wright, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, touch-free from radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
McCartney, on behalf of Rad, if you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you. Yes, I'm
gonna be a star. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14, 31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Yo, listen up, here's a story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue. Like him, inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around. Cause he ain't got nobody to listen to.
I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-dye, 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 da-ba-dee-da-ba-dye. I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-dye, 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 da-ba-dee-da-ba-dye.
I'm blue, I'm a dee, 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 I federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Welcome back to the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. I decided that I was going to break the tease that I put before the last music break, because the more I really thought about it, the more I really began to feel really pissed off. Really pissed off about the Brad Marchand news of his suspension, in which that I'm like, really? 3 games. But before I even go into my whole spiel, I am going to introduce myself to the crowd that is listening on my personal Twitter page at Shukri Writes. Simply want to say hello. Thank you guys for tuning in, because right now, I am rather like very, very aggravated. I'm very aggravated. I want to say hello to the audience that is listening right now on Twitter. And I decided that I'm going to really let my message and let my words and let my feelings and my thoughts and my opinions really flow out there for Twitterverse to do whatever they want to do. Because there are some things in the NHL that I genuinely have grown to despise. One of them is the player safety office up in Toronto, or wherever the hell it is. Because, in case if you missed the news, if you're just finding out, if you're driving around on this Monday night, and you just happen to be flipping between the dials on the radio and so forth, the news broke about 10 plus minutes ago that the NHL has decided they're going to suspend Brad Marchand 3 games for slew-footing Vancouver Canucks defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And I don't know for the life of me, like, why 3 games? Like, why? Is this because Brad Marchand has a reputation, or he has a past, and the NHL, what they love to do more than anything, especially when it comes to the Boston Bruins, I've noticed, is that they absolutely love to hold grudges. Like, I don't know why they're holding on to grudges, especially when a player has made a turn, for the better, and he's, worked a lot on his reputation on the ice and so forth. But no. You? Oh, no. You see, we can't let bygones be bygones. We're going to completely excuse Alexander Ovechkin for completely beating Andrei Svechnikov like a complete body bag. Meanwhile, little old Brad Marchand, the size of a freaking gnome on the ice, gets the little tallywag of the finger by the NHL safety office, and they're like, oh, no, you don't, sir. No. You cannot. No, you may not, sir. This is a massive no-no. You may not get away with this, so we're going to make an example out of you, because this is what we do best. Like, for God's sakes, Gary Bettman, or whoever's in charge, at this point, I don't even give a damn. I don't even give a damn about the who's in charge of that department? Because at this point, let me just go ahead and blast the NHL for its picky tic-tac. No, you can get away with this, but no, you, sir, you may not. Let's be brutally honest about something here, ladies and gentlemen. And you can't call into the radio show if you're feeling pissed off or aggravated as much as I am, if not more. Here's the number. Call me, 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. If memory serves me correct, the last time I could remember that Brad Marchand received a multi-game suspension of this nature was, if I remember correctly, I believe this was during the 2015-2016 season. Remember, he was suspended prior to the 2016 Winter Classic because he had done something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he had did something in a game against the Ottawa Senators during that season. I remember this vividly. Obviously with Marchand, it was like, well, he had the face-sticking incident in the 2018 playoffs against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah, okay. And of course, his reputation like supersedes his reality. I mean, goodness grief. Like, how can you possibly look at this whole situation with Brad Marchand in terms of what he did? How do you possibly look at this and you say, slew footing, 3-game suspension. Woo! We got a phone call. Hold on. WMFO. WMFO. Yeah, we had a caller. I want to try to switch this over to the caller now. Thanks for calling to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO. Where are you calling from? What is your name?
Hi, my name's Connor. I'm calling from Andover, Massachusetts.
Connor, Andover. What's going on, bud?
How you doing, Shukri?
Ticked off. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be. Oh, I'm great. Yeah, I'm feeling phenomenal right now. Woo! Lovely. How are you doing, Connor? Talk to me.
You know what? Well, I was just listening to the program here, and, you know, I can't help but agree with you. I've been looking on the Twitter waves today, and I've been having a lot of Bruins fans, and I'm seeing a lot of Bruins fans say that it wasn't a slew foot, and I don't think that's the case here. I think it is a slew foot, but the precedent that the Department of Player Safety is setting here is the issue at hand, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel about that.
I definitely think it is, but because Connor, Brad Marchand has the reputation, and he has the history, and I mean, should I have to go through the entire list of things of crimes or whatever you want to call it, things that he's done in his past? Because to me, at this point, it becomes almost like rather pointless.
Right. Right. And you know what? It's they said in the little video they came out with when they announced the suspension that he is a repeat offender. But yeah, sure, you could say he is, but he hasn't been suspended in 3 years. That's the point that I don't understand. Yeah, you could say, okay, yeah, he did this thing when he early in his career, but he's a changed player, and it's very evident.
Like, it's absurd. And according to the NHL.com, this article that was just posted moments ago, this is the explanation given from New York. Bruins forward Brad Marchand has been suspended 3 games without pay for slew-footing Vancouver Canucks defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson during NHL game number 326 in Boston yesterday, the NHL Department of Player Safety announced today. Under the terms of the collective bargaining agreement and based on his average annual salary, Marchand would forfeit $98,875. The money will go to the Players' Emergency Assistance Fund. As you pointed out, and I agree, he hasn't been suspended in the last 3 seasons. So, more than anything, this has got to be the good old, I'm going to hold on to this grudge because you were always a DB. For those of you listening, you know exactly what I'm saying without me really getting into it on radio. So we're going to hold on to this. No, this is the same rat, the same face slicker, the man who loves the taste of the guys' faces on the ice. So no, we're going to come down harder than anyone else. Woohoo! Yeah, here comes the big old whip. Come here, boy. We're going to suspend you for 3 games. That's what we're going to do. Yaha! Like, this is what we're doing now? Is this what we're doing? Honestly. Like, seriously, no, we have no problem with you running the goaltender. We have no problem with you fighting on the ice. We have no problem with you, you know, spearing Brad Marchand in the nuts. And if you remember this from a few years ago, the Bruins were playing the game in Vancouver, I think it was about 3-4 years ago. And it was a Saturday night game, and Brad Marchand gets absolutely speared in the nuts. Like, we have no problems with you with that, but Brad Marchand, no, no, sir. No, no, you may not. You may not slew someone intentionally or unintentionally without letting you get away with it. No.
Yeah, you know what, Shukri? It's a tough precedent, and I mean, how many penalty calls Marchand gets just as a reputation call? If it's anybody else, I don't think it's a penalty. You see it so many times. But here's a question I have for you.
Sure.
You know, to kind of flip the script a little bit.
Go ahead.
You know, with Marchand being out, him and Bergeron have been attached to the hip really ever since 2011 when
yes.
they were put together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the way the Bruins season has been going so far, do you think this could potentially be a good thing for the Bruins to kind of switch things up a bit?
This could be. This could be a good thing. And the reason why I want to say that it is a good thing is because for the last couple of years, I personally have been saying that they need to find a way to break up that perfection line. But we have seen in small spurts when Bruce Cassidy has slid down Pastrnak to the second line to play alongside Krejci when he was with the Bruins, that it may have had a short-term effect. Like, it may have worked in a short term, but long-term, it didn't work. So they said, you know, we're better off just leaving these three together. But now, I just find it to be interesting as to what the Bruins are going to do moving forward for the next 3 games without Marchand on that top line. And this is already a team that has issues at second line, on a second line center. So this is just another like headache that Bruce Cassidy and management is going to have to deal with over the next 3 games.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? It's going to be really interesting, in my opinion, and I'm interested to see what your thoughts are on it, too. I think Taylor Hall has been awful. I think he's done absolutely nothing this whole season. You know, you've seen it in spurts, but, you know, he's nowhere near the player he was last year at the end of the season when we acquired him and when he played with David Krejci. And obviously, Charlie Coyle and David Krejci are completely different players. But maybe putting him with a Bergeron and a Pastrnak could jump his game and get him going a bit.
Absolutely, and I want to say thank you, Connor, for calling in. I'm gonna have you. I want to hang up the line now so that allow other people to call into the show and whatnot. So I appreciate the phone call. Thank you, but I'm gonna touch on your point just now. So, in Connor's point in regards to Taylor Hall, I wholeheartedly believe that he misses David Krejci. Because let's be honest about something here. And that is the fact that the reason why Taylor Hall played as well as he did, one of the reasons, I'm not going to say it was the reason, but one of the major reasons why was because you had a premier second-line center in Krejci. And we've seen this for years, Bruin fans, who knew how to pass the puck and how to find soft coverage in the attacking zone to create outscoring opportunities, and Krejci did that well. Now, Taylor Hall doesn't have that. Charlie Coyle was never that guy. But going back to the topic of discussion, where Brad Marchand being suspended 3 games for his actions in the Bruins game last night and their win over the Vancouver Canucks, I am just absolutely frustrated. And I have a really good friend of mine who just texted me just moments ago, in which he said, I believe Marchand was taken off the repeat offender list because he went 3 years without a suspension. That might have been the case. That may have been the case. And and listen, if you are a Bruins fan and you're listening to this program and you're wondering, what now? If he's not a repeat offender, then great. Then why 3 games? Why not just the simple 1-game ban? Because I sincerely would love to, I'd love to know that. Like, what was the reason behind 3 games? If you have any thoughts, comments, if you want to vent, you can. Just call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call. But we do have to go to music break. And coming up next, I want to get back into some Patriots talk and to discuss some of the concerns that I do have for the New England Patriots going into the big Monday night matchup against the Buffalo Bills next Monday night in Buffalo. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford Tufts Free Form Radio.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone. At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I came to dance, 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 dance. I hit the floor cause that's my plans, 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 plans. I'm wearing all my favorite brands, 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 brands. Give me some space for both my hands, 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 hands. You, you, cause it goes on and on and on. And it goes on. Came to move, 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 move. Get out the way of me and my crew, 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 crew. I'm in the club, so I'm gonna do, 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 do. Just what the folk came here to do, 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 do. Yep, yep, cause it goes on and on and on.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to tune into the program on this Monday night here with you live until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Just finished a segment-long rant on the NHL suspension of Brad Marchand for 3 games. In case if you were just tuning into the program or you're just hearing about it, yes, the news is in fact true. The NHL has suspended Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand for 3 games for his slew foot against the Vancouver Canucks, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and last night's win over Vancouver. I'll be taking your calls if you want to talk about your thoughts on that. But for right now, since we got roughly about 9 minutes until 6 o'clock, which will be hour number 2 of the program, I'm going to be talking about the Patriots. And and go back to the tease that I dropped at the end of the first segment of this show, in which that, listen, if you are the New England Patriots right now, you have a lot to feel good about. This team is rolling. They've won six in a row. They find themselves near the top of the conference after getting off to a 1-3 and as well as a 2-4 start to begin the season. Now, this team is the hottest team in the NFL right now. But with all of that positivity comes an air of caution. Yes, I'm a firm believer that there has to be an air of caution when you talk about the Patriots in terms of where they are as a team and as well as their game. Let me start with the following, because we have to talk about this. Mac Jones yesterday, the numbers looked good. And I watched the game yesterday. He looked good. He wasn't great. But that's not my concern. My concern was that I noticed that a lot of his passes were missing high. And I'm beginning to wonder if the passes that he missed high, were they intentionally thrown high for those receivers that only the receivers can get? Or were they thrown high because he is missing his targets? And that's something that I think that we need to talk about a little bit. Now, if you're the Patriots and you're Josh McDaniels and you go back and you look at the film from yesterday's game and you notice some of the throws that Mac Jones made were rather a bit high, I think you have to have a conversation. You have to have a conversation with Mac Jones has to say, hey, bud, listen, you're hitting your targets, but you're missing high, and that's usually a recipe for disaster in the NFL. Because behind that receiver who just can't get that pass is a defensive back or a corner or a safety that's waiting to pick it off. I mean, thankfully, Mac Jones did not turn over the ball yesterday. And that has been a big part of the success that Mac Jones has had this season so far, is that he has not turned over the ball. It's been very far and few and in between. He's done a tremendous job turning over the ball. But there is something that I did pick up on. I was reading about this earlier today, that they are beginning to fall into a trend. And I think this is a dangerous trend if you are the Patriots right now, in which that they have struggled in the last three games to pick up on delayed blitzes. We have to talk about this because now what we're learning about rookie quarterbacks in the NFL, the more games that they play, the more film there is on that quarterback. So when you're going up against defenses like Buffalo or the Colts, for example, heck, even Miami, they're gonna see and they're like, wait a minute, that offensive line or Mac Jones himself, he can't pick up on the delayed blitz. He struggles against that. So what are they going to do? They're going to game plan. They're going to game plan, and they're going to say, until he can recognize it for what it is, unless he is able to change the protection at the line of scrimmage, this is what we're going to do. They can't stop it. So keep at it. Atlanta, that was the case. You saw that in yesterday's game against Tennessee. And even, and I do mean even, at times earlier in this schedule, during this streak so far, I've noticed that. You saw that a little bit in the Cleveland game as well. That defenses where they will delay blitzing. They, like, when the ball will be snapped, like the defensive line or the linebackers, they wouldn't rush in right away. They would wait one, two, three, then send the safety or send the linebacker. Sometimes they'll rush four. Sometimes they'll just rush two. Or sometimes they'll just send one. They'll stack the safety in the box. for some reason, and I've picked up on this as well, the Patriots have struggled against that. And it's only a matter of time that the Patriots face a better defense who would be able to take full advantage. Buffalo might, and I mean just might be that team. If not next Monday, then again in week 16, and not to overlook them in Indianapolis Colts as well. But that is a trend that I've noticed that I've become very concerned about. Because this is not an indictment against the offensive line, because I do also think that the offensive line has to do a better job in recognizing that, but it also does fall under the shoulder of Mac Jones. Change the protection if need be. And if you got to call an audible at the line of scrimmage, then so be it. Don't be afraid to make that move. But these are things that, of course, it's part of the growing process in the NFL, especially when you're a rookie quarterback. I get that, all of that. I get it. But when you look at the upcoming schedule in terms of opponents, three games, two of them against Buffalo and the third one being against the Colts, week 13 against the Bills, week 15 against the Colts, week 16 at home against the Bills, the day after Christmas, I think it's imperative that you recognize that, hey, this is a trend that we have to correct and we need to start working on that. And I am a believer that if you are the New England Patriots, you appreciate the 6-game winning streak for what it is, while at the same time, you didn't play a perfect game yesterday. Your defense got gassed for 270-plus yards on the ground alone, and that's without Derrick Henry in the backfield. Your run game, the Patriots' run game, only rushed for 107 yards. And the only reason why you won the game was because Tennessee played directly into the Patriots' strength, and that is they turned over the ball and the Patriots took advantage of good field position to put points on the board. That's exactly what they did. And you got to believe that Bill Belichick is going to look into this furthermore, even more so this week, given that they're going to be playing next Monday night on Monday Night Football in Buffalo against the Buffalo Bills. I do think it's going to be really fascinating to see what happens here moving forward in terms of what do the Patriots do? What do they do next? Because defensively, in the last couple of weeks, I feel like the Patriots, outside of the Thursday night game in Atlanta about a week and a half ago, I feel like there's a part of me that feels as if that this team offensively leaves me with more to be desired. And I feel that way. You go back to the Cleveland game. You go back to yesterday's game. Even against the Falcons, I'd even throw that in there as well. They'll get to the red zone. And they're having Nick Folk